You are listening to the sermon podcast from the pulpit of Brookside Baptist Church. For more information, please visit us on the web at brooksidebaptist.org. Now, here's today's message.
Part of our spiritual armor is the helmet of salvation. I hope every day we give God thanks for our salvation, that He loved us so much. It's encouraging. It's always encouraging to hear how people come to know Jesus Christ. Everyone has a story. And I have been greatly blessed tonight just listening to what God's been doing in your life. And I can just tell you that I'm so thankful for this church myself. Our family has benefited greatly being at Brookside. And I can't express my gratitude to the church family and to my Lord for the opportunity to be able to minister right here with you and alongside of you. And many of you are involved in ministry here, and it's encouraging from the pastoral staff to see folks that are willing to get in and say, we're going to move forward by faith, with God's blessing, to honor and glorify Him in all things. And so I have greatly been challenged. I always share with our Brookside 101 folks the reason I came to Brookside and our family came to Brookside was a little over seven years ago, is because we could see God was at work here. And I want to be in a church where God is at work. And it's been a wonderful 7 years for us, and we have really grown and been challenged. Tonight, I just want to just share briefly with you, and then we're going to go down and have some fellowship and some refreshments together. But this whole idea of thankfulness, that thankfulness really should be a habit in my life, not just a holiday. I remember one of the only family camps that we actually attended was out in Colorado. We had another family who wanted us to go with them, so we went. And the speaker that year was Dr. Kirkland. I'd never met him before, but it was a very challenging week. But the emphasis for the entire week was on be thankful as a Christian. I mean, every time we came together, it was give thanks for who you are in Jesus Christ. Give thanks that the Lord never leaves you. He's always, He's with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And so, in the course of the week, he said he determined in 1 year that year, as he started his year off, he was going to give praise to God for everything that came into his life. And that year, he had 26 flat tires. Can you imagine 26 flat tires, and he's going to give thanks? And so we had a wonderful time. We had a great time with our family, this other family that was there with us. And we finally finished the day, and I thought, you know, I want to give thanks. I've been challenged this week. I want to give thanks to the Lord no matter what comes into my life. So we're going down the mountain, the Millers had four kids. We had four kids at the time, and I kind of thought that Kathy and her friend Leanne got some of the nicer kids in their vehicle. Phil and I were with some of the ones that were a little rambunctious at times. And as we were coming down the mountain, my second, Kevin, was just crying and carrying on in the back seat. And I'm like, would you knock it off? And about that time, Phil looked at me and goes, I don't think there's anything that's going on back there. I don't know if he's doing well physically. And about that time, he came up over the back of my seat and he said, Dad, I'm sick. And he threw up all over the back of me. So I couldn't wait to pull the car over. It happened immediately, and I bailed out of the car. I have a sensitive nose, that's all I'll say. And we tried to get Kevin a little cleaned up there, and he was probably about seven years old. And I kind of felt bad for him over there, but I think I used up every baby wipe that we had. And we're cleaning the car. Well, Kathy and Leanne, they stopped their vehicle in front of us, and you would think they would come and want to help and see what was going on, but when they saw what was going on, they really didn't come, but they were shooting pictures. And wouldn't you know it, a week later, I did get a special homemade card that was had the caption, "Give thanks in everything." And I opened it up, and there were pictures of us on the side of the road. And I look back, and I thought, Lord, that is a great start for my desire to want to give thanks in everything. But seriously, genuine thanks comes from my heart. It says more about you and your secret self than it does about your outward actions. Genuine thanks is a byproduct of the choices that you and I make to give thanks in every circumstance that comes into our life. I've already mentioned it should be a habit. It shouldn't just be a holiday for us. It should be part of my everyday life. I hope that you'll get out of bed, and one of the first things you're going to do is say, God, I want to thank you for another day to serve you. I want to thank you for the wonderful gift of salvation that you've given to me. I hope we never, ever get tired of giving thanks. Someone once said that when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. If you have your Bibles, look with me very quickly here at Colossians 3. We're going to look at three verses. The Apostle Paul, he shared this with the church at Colossae. In verses 15 through 17 of chapter 3, it's interesting with the church at Colossae how many times he uses the word thankful or thankfulness. And we come to verse 15, and he says, "And let the peace of God," of chapter 3, verse 15, "let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace." Some of your Bibles might even have thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I'd like to look at just a couple of points. One, a thankful heart, what it's not based on. And then secondly, what a thankful heart should be focused on. A thankful heart is not dependent on outward circumstances. You look at the Apostle Paul, he's our prime example since he's writing this church. He knew exactly what it was like to give thanks regardless of what the outside and outward circumstances were. For at this time that he wrote this book, he was a prisoner in Rome. He was chained. He was there writing. He was confined. Sure, he would have loved to have been out. But he had known and had learned, I'm going to give thanks to God. Remember, he and Silas in jail, what were they usually doing? They were singing, they were giving thanks, they were giving praise. You look at Joseph when he was in jail, a wonderful attitude, a wonderful spirit. In fact, when he met back up with his brothers, he said, "Hey, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." When I can look at every circumstance in my life that God is in control. And you see his life as a believer. He loved giving his testimony of how he came to know Jesus Christ. He met him firsthand on the road to Damascus. The Colossians themselves, their church was consisted of slaves. It consisted of slave owners. And you'll read through, and even in chapter 4, when he's addressing slaves, and then he's addressing those who own slaves. The church was battling living in fear. He said in chapter 1, you're no longer under the power of darkness. You don't have to fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the church was battling through some of the demonic activity of that day. There were obviously evil, sinful practices going on in this church. Paul addresses them, and he's saying, no, get up. We are a new creature. Though that's the old man. Look at the new man. And so Paul had learned to give thanks in all things, and he was wanting the believers there at Colossae to learn to do the same. And he kept emphasizing this in his letter. In all things, give thanks. In fact, Paul told the church at Thessalonica in chapter 5 and verse 18, "In all things give thanks to the Lord." Matthew Henry, the well-known Bible commentator, recounted the story of when he was robbed in his journal. Lord, let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. A thankful heart is not dependent upon outward circumstances, but a thankful heart is dependent upon the peace of Jesus. People who do not know Jesus are going to have conflict and turmoil, and I'm not sure really where they turn. The peace of Jesus. In fact, he says it here in verse 15, the peace of God, let it rule in your hearts. And so I think that in this aspect of the peace of God, I hope you'll be able to see this with me. Internally it takes place. It takes place externally and then eternally. And internally, he says this, that peace, let it be that rule in your heart. The word rule there doesn't really capture the full significance that it does with the Greek word that's used there. That word represents this metaphor that comes from the context of an athletic event where the official judges the contest. In other words, an umpire, that would be a little bit more familiar in our thinking, an umpire would be like the one ruling over a decision. The peace of God, Paul is saying here, is the umpire in our life. The word peace represents an attitude of rest, of security. Remember there in Philippians 4, he says, don't worry. Look at what God's doing in your life. Go to him in prayer. And the peace of God, it passeth all understanding. Someone can say, you know, it doesn't even seem to make sense that you can be peaceful in the midst of what's going on. The peace of heart is maintained with this heart of thankfulness. In verse 16, he talks about the word of Christ dwelling in me richly in all wisdom. Christ's words dwelling richly could be translated abundantly. The word to dwell, to live within, is to be at home with. And hopefully you're at home in God's word. The Bible stresses the importance of giving thanks. Not just Paul, but you go back into the Old Testament, many times the psalmist, let me just read a few. Psalm 50:14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 107, verses 21 and 22, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works to the children of men. Psalm 92, verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to thy name, O Most High. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. A heart full of thanks will not be a heart that's full of fear and worry. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. You know, worry is anything that comes into my life that's going to drain my tank of joy and thankfulness. It is so easy to lose my focus on what God's done in my life and what he's doing when I start seeing what is happening or what might be going on that I don't think is very good. Or I'm worrying down the road of something that might happen. Externally, this peace is also relational. He talks here about how I can admonish one another. And I do that in singing and in spiritual songs, with singing with this grace or this thankfulness in my heart. A thankful spirit will permeate my speech with people. Look what he says in verse 6 of chapter 4, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So a thankful spirit will permeate my speech with people. A thankful spirit will permeate a lifestyle of peace with people. Are you known as a peaceful person with folks that you're around, whether it be in your family, whether it be at your workplace, whether it be at your school, whether it be at church? Are you a peaceful person? Those who have peace live in unity and harmony, and a spirit of humble gratitude towards God will always affect my relationships with others. Peace and gratitude are closely linked. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, that evil men are marked by ungratefulness. Eternally, he lets it be known there in verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Eternally, Christ is my focus. Because peace, my peace comes through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The war between the believer and God is over. The treaty was paid for by Jesus Christ himself, and all God's people said, hallelujah. Not just amen, so be it, but I'm saying hallelujah that I can know that I'm on my way to heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done. He is the one who has saved my soul. Thankful to Jesus Christ for that eternal life that he offers. Christ's likeness should be my goal in life. That whatever I do, if I am thankful for what he's done for me, that whatever I do for him, I should do it properly. I should do it properly for him. He deserves my best. My dad used to tell me, and I think he picked it up when he was at college, it's no disgrace to fail, but Ken, when you do less than your best, that's a sin in God's eyes. He said, so when you come running in and I ask you what you made on that test and you say, well, I just made a B, but I didn't study at all. I probably could have made an A if I studied. He said, I want you to know, I'm coming right back to you that wasn't your best for God then. But if you did your best and you made a C, then God is pleased. So that in everything I do it properly, and then in everything I do it prayerfully, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Can I tell you, the life of one that is thankful, who is experiencing joy in their life, the gratitude that they have in Jesus Christ, it will be a lifestyle, and you'll be able to be around them, and it will be contagious with their spirit and what they're thankful with what God is doing. And it's not just going to be a certain day of the year that we celebrate to come together and give thanks. It's going to be their life. It's going to permeate. And Paul is saying to these believers, let your life go forth, and may it affect other people. And may they see that you have a spirit and a life of thankfulness to the Lord. For Jesus Christ is worthy of my thankful spirit and gratitude. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the wonderful gift of salvation. We thank you that you preserved your word for us. We thank you that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We're thankful for the joy that we can have in you. We're thankful for the opportunity to be able to fellowship with believers. We're thankful for the opportunity you've given to us to give the gospel, the good news of salvation to a world that needs to hear. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but through Jesus Christ, but through him. Father, thank you.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like more information about the ministry of Brookside Baptist Church, please visit us on the web at brooksidebaptist.org. Thank you again for listening as we bring the Word of God to your life.